everybody. Welcome to our broadcast today. I'm with Brand Bonzo, one of our therapists at Evoke, and we're continuing our series on talking with our therapists and learning a little bit about their background and their perspective that they bring to wilderness therapy. So welcome to the broadcast today, Brand.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I think people like to learn about where people come from and their background. So tell us a little bit about your previous work experience and how you found this career in wilderness therapy at Evoke.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's a pretty, well, to me anyway, it feels like an original and interesting story of how I ended up in wilderness and even in therapy. I was one of those typical high school and college students that didn't really know what I wanted to do. I mean, I sometimes think it's almost ludicrous that we ask 18-year-olds to figure out what your degree is going to be and figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life. And I was definitely one of those. And so, you know, I went to college at 18 and about halfway through, I kind of had to pick a major. And so, you know, I chose business communication because it was something that I thought that I could do and something I could graduate with. And so then after I graduated with that, I spent about 10 years in one form of business or another. I worked for a couple of different companies in sales and marketing was some of my past career. And after about, 10 years of that, I was really burnt out by it and I was tired of it. And it was hard to think about making a transition because I was pretty good at it. I was good at sales and good at business. And, so I started thinking about what could I do differently and what is it about sales that makes me good at it? And what is it about it that I really don't like? And so I met with a couple of career counselors and took some career inventory exams and tried to look into that and discover that. And what I really found was, the reason that I was good at what I did was because I have a genuine interest in people and I like hearing their stories and I like trying to understand them further. It's a curiosity that I have and something that I enjoy. And so that was part of what made me good at my job. But what I didn't like about it was that I would then have to use some of that information that I had gained from getting to know people to try to convince them to buy my product. And I didn't like that last part of it. And so after doing some career inventory exams and thinking about that side of it, I thought, I could use that part that I'm good at and that I enjoy in being a therapist. So I really made, I made a left turn in life and made a decision to go to grad school and get my therapist degree. And so I did that. I applied to a couple of different grad schools and I eventually got accepted to Northern Arizona University, which is out of Flagstaff, but I was living in Phoenix and I took my classes at a Phoenix campus. And then very early on, I wasn't really sure, what industry or how I wanted to apply my therapy degree and in what setting. But very, very early on in a pretty simple introductory to research type of class, my assignment was vague and it was just, research something in therapy that you're interested in and write a general paper about it. And I always had this idea that, the outdoors is a place that personally helps me to feel calm and to feel connected. And so I had this idea that, when I'm a therapist, I'll take my clients for walks and I'll get them outside. And so I literally Googled outdoor therapy and lo and behold, this whole industry that I didn't even know existed called wilderness therapy popped up. And so I wrote my paper on that. And then a few months later, I got to thinking, I bet that wilderness therapy programs, need more employees or need more field staff in the summer. Maybe it's busier there. And so I applied to be a seasonal field staff with Evoke. Yeah. And so I came out that summer to be a seasonal field staff with Evoke. And within a week, I just thought, wow, this is where I want to be doing therapy. It's outdoors, it's experiential. And just the company and the program of Evoke, I was so impressed with and the quality of the other field staff and the employees that I worked with, that within that first week of being a field staff, I just realized this is where I want to be a therapist. And so I was a field staff for a couple of summers while I completed my graduate degree. And then near the completion of my graduate degree, I was able to get an internship with Evoke. And then I became a primary therapist working with adolescents out here. And so that's how I ended up here.
That's a cool story.
Yeah, thank you.
So everybody has a perspective that they bring to the work. What unique perspective do you bring to this work because of your life experience, would you say?
Yes. Yeah, so I think a lot of the kids that I work with are, you know, they're struggling with mental health and they're struggling with past traumas, but they're also struggling with this, who do I want to be and how do I want to be in this world? And I can identify with that. I can identify with that, you know, as a teenager, as a college student, you know, even the first 10 years of my career, this constant questioning about who am I and who do I want to be and how do I want to be in this world? And is this all there is, you know, the way that I'm going about it? And so I think that that's a very relatable part of my history and part of my story. And so I can put myself in their shoes and understand where they are and that struggle that they have and how that can lead to a lot of things. I mean, it can lead to some pressure and some anxiety and, you know, even sadness and depression when we're not feeling like we're living our lives according to the values that we have or the moral code that we have. And, you know, we aren't sure how to do that and get to that. And so I think that I can apply that. And I also think, you know, that's part of it is my past experience. And so I can, you know, empathize and identify with them. Yeah. I also think that just my experience of meeting many different types of people and hearing their story and being curious and understanding that story allows me a vantage point of, just a variety of different stories that allows me a vantage point to see things from a lot of different perspectives because I've experienced that and I've met a lot of people and I've had the opportunity to get to know people from all different walks of life. And so I think that that helps inform me as well and gives me the ability to draw on that past experience to be able to help the kids that I work with.
What I love about what you're saying is I think that we talk about this all the time in our clinical meetings, right? About the idea that to remain curious,
yes,
is to really stay connected to our clients, and that comes because of your experience so naturally. So I really, really respect and appreciate that. With that, tell us a little bit about the theory that informs you of therapy within this context of wilderness therapy.
Yes, so. You know, of course, I believe very strongly in the concept of wilderness therapy. I love how it disconnects us from the stressors and the things that we're able to distract with in the front country, as we call it. And I love the experiential side of it and the way that our field staff are able to work on a daily basis with the students. And sometimes I describe it as almost 24/7 group therapy. Because they're out there living with and working with other boys and experiencing their experience. So of course, you know, a big part of, you know, the way that I work and my theoretical orientation is the actual wilderness part of it. And then I'm a big believer that all of us have certain strengths and resources. And so part of what I believe in and work on is a strengths-based philosophy that we all have these things within us. And sometimes we've either forgotten them or maybe we don't even realize what they are. And part of my role as a therapist is to help you to understand those strengths and those resources and to figure out how you want to apply them to your life. And so that's a part of my therapeutic orientation is strengths-based. I also believe in mindfulness. It's been a big part of my journey as I've transitioned into this other industry is just learning about meditation and mindfulness and how important it is to be present in the individual moment and how practicing that can really help you. And so then, you know, we take the strengths identification, the presence and the mindfulness part of therapy, And I also want to help students to look at what's really valuable to you. You know, how do you want to live your life? Versus I think that we get caught up oftentimes in simply chasing what makes us feel good in the moment, or chasing happiness. And I think that's a fallacy, because we're not always happy all the time. It's impossible. And so helping students to identify their values and then looking at, okay, if this is what's really valuable to me, if this is what's important to me, then are my behaviors lining up with that? And so taking the experience of the wilderness to point out behaviors and how they may not be aligning with those values. So I call it a strength-based mindful approach to value examination, which is a big mouthful. But that's how I use it on a moment-to-moment basis in my work with the kids in the wilderness.
That's really cool. I know you mentioned earlier that your introduction to this work was as a field staff, a seasonal field staff. And so, and I know whenever we talk, you have so much to say about the role of your field staff. And so I kind of have a two-part question to that, which is, how does your experience as a field staff inform you as a therapist? Mm-hmm. And then also along with that, how would you talk about your collaboration with field staff and kind of the role they play in conjunction with the work that you do with your clients?
So I was a field staff, and it changed my life in many ways. Just that experience of being out there for 8 days at a time, you know, with the students, and really, you know, literally being in the dirt with them, and working with them and seeing their struggles and seeing their successes. And so it informs me from a lens of what's possible in the wilderness, and what steps can be seen on a day-to-day basis, and what we can observe and understand on a day-to-day basis. And so it helps me to understand how valuable the relationship is between field staff and between the students. And I oftentimes think that my job as a therapist, because the field staff are so important to the work with the students, is really to consolidate and make sense of and help to, you know, mirror back to the students what their week was about working with the field staff. I feel like the field staff and the students do so much of the nitty gritty of the diving into it on a daily basis, that again, my work is to really consolidate that and help students to understand that and what it means to them in their daily life. And so that's my perspective that I bring to it from being a former field staff. And it's also my it helps me when speaking with and working with the parents as well, that I can really explain what's happening out there, you know, and how important the field staff are and how well they're trained and how good of a job they do and how dedicated they are to it. I think all of that is important for the parents and the families of these students to understand. And so that's how it informs me. And then I think the second part of your question was, how does that impact the relationship that I have with field staff and how we coach and how we work together and all of those things? And I, you know, something that we do each week is we leave behind therapeutic assignments for students to be working on, and we speak with the staff about how they can implement some of these assignments. And we have staff sit in with us on the majority of the sessions so they can really see where the student's at and what's happening. And so it impacts my work with field staff in just the level of trust that I have with them to help these students work through their process while I'm not there in the field. And also the level of communication that I can have with field staff, both while I'm out there in the field doing therapy and teaching and coaching staff, and also throughout the week when they're able to contact me and talk with me about where a student is and maybe brainstorm some creative ideas for interventions to help them. And so because I think I value and understand the role of field staff so much, I think that I also am very dedicated to working with them to help them, to teach them, to coach them, so that they can work with these students throughout the week.
Are there students that you think you work really well with, and why? What are the kind, the type, the personality of students that you think are the best fit for you?
So adolescent boys, first of all, that's the group that I work with, right?
Right.
And, you know, I often work with adolescent boys who are anxious, who are depressed, who are uncertain of just their place in life and how they want to be. And this is sometimes leading to some of that anxiousness and some of that depression. And I think that I work well with those boys for a couple of reasons. One is that I was that boy, you know, so I can, right. I can come at it from a lens of understanding and empathy, like I mentioned a bit before. And, you know, secondly, I think that I work well with those types of students because I believe so much in identification of strengths, identification of values, and that helps that anxious, depressed, unsure, you know, scared boy to realize, well, these are some of the things that I want to live towards, and I can live towards these things regardless of my emotions, regardless of my anxiety, my depression, my uncertainty in life. And so I guess to summarize that a little bit better, one particular population of adolescent boys I work with are the ones that they're lost, they're anxious, they're uncertain, they're depressed. And some of that is coming from them being lost and just not knowing how they fit in the world. And so that's one subset of boys that I work well with. I think also that I work well with adopted children and boys who are struggling with being adopted and what that means, you know, within their identity and who they are. And I think that it really just dovetails with my philosophy of understanding your values and understanding yourself, you know, because of the, mm-hmm. even the subconscious attachment wound that adopted boys often have. And it oftentimes comes out in adolescence, you know, and they don't even really know where it's coming from. And their parents don't even totally understand where it's coming from. But I love that challenge and that work with adopted adolescent boys in just helping them to see that it's all part of it. Your adoption's part of it. Your adopted parents are part of it. You know, you being an adolescent, and just, which is a tough time, and just trying to figure out where you fit is part of it. And so all of these things go together and are in some ways leading to some confusion within you about who you are and who you want to be. And so I just think my idea and my philosophy about a deeper understanding of self and understanding our strengths and understanding our values and how we want to live fits in well with working with adopted children as well.
It's funny that you talk about how you identify with the clients, the students that you see similar to yourself. Mm-hmm. Whenever I've talked about who I work well with, I become very aware, kind of like a nakedness, like that I'm just describing myself in a lot of ways when I describe the students that I work well with. So I can relate to that. Bran, I know a couple of times recently I've heard you present. You've presented about family work. You presented about how you work with the parents and around any kind of resistance that they might have. So I just want to give you a moment to comment on what draws you to think about, to teach about that, to focus on that. When you think about presenting your model of wilderness therapy, that's one of the things that I know comes to your mind. So what can you say about what draws you to that aspect of the work, working with parents and working with whatever resistance might come along with that?
Yes, certainly. When I look at the work that we're doing with the entire family system within Evoke, I realize, and I say very early on to both the students, the boys that I work with, and the parents, that, you know, I'll almost make a joke with the boys in the first session or two, and I'll say, look, you're the one that's out here, you know, and I'm not going to deny that your parents are in their home still and they're in their bed, because I want to empathize with them that it's hard just being in the wilderness where they're at. Mm-hmm. So you're the one that's out here, but I don't believe that you're the only one that needs to do work. I believe that your parents need to do work. And I believe that it's all been a contribution to the reasons that you are here in wilderness. And so then I often say to the parents the very exact same thing. And I say, I explained this to your son, and I explained it and said that I'm going to be teaching you parents and coaching you parents and even challenging you along the way here to look at yourself and look at your communication style and how you've interacted with your child and have been a part of this struggle within the family system. And so I'm a big believer that, you know, in my work with the parents, they need to be taught and they need to be to help to understand, you know, how they've contributed, and they need to do their own work so that they're the healthiest version of themselves that they can be, so they can handle whatever's going on with their children, and it not have to be a reflection on their parenting, and it not have to be a reflection on I've done a bad job or I'm a bad person, but doing their own work to be aware of those things. And so I love the family programming that we have set up. We have so many options and so many things for parents to be working on. And you know, I know, Brad, that you've explained and talked about all of these things a lot, but there's, you know, just all of the webinars you do, there's the assignments that I give them on a weekly basis. You know, there's the intensives that they can go to. There's the support groups they can go to. I encourage them very early on to have their own therapist and go to their own group therapy. And so I really lean into coaching the parents on those things and how they can be involved in this program and in some ways be on a parallel process with their son. And so those are the ways that I lean into it. And then you mentioned the word resistance. We see that. We see it with the students. We see it with the parents. You know, we see it all the time in therapy. And so I try to understand both from the students and the parents' side, both where that resistance is coming from and what it means. Why are they being resistant? And instead of labeling it as a resistant client, a resistant parent, you know, I can't get through to them. I can't push through the wall. More of a understanding what it's teaching us and then finding a way to work on what it's teaching us versus just busting through that resistance wall. And I think that we can utilize all of the family programming that we have available to us to even find, you know, almost like finding a way around that wall or a way of allowing them to start to remove that wall by showing them and encouraging them to utilize the family programming and to do their own work.
That's beautiful. So tell us a little bit about yourself personally. What are your passions outside of work, the things you like to do when you're not working with the boys in the wilderness?
I love to play, and I love to play hard. I think, and what that means to me is I love the outdoors. I love to hike, to find new hiking trails, and to hike old hiking trails. I love to, just this last year, I've picked up mountain biking. We're in a beautiful place out here in Southwest Utah to mountain bike. Probably one of my favorite things in the world is to snowboard. And I love to snowboard. And we have a local mountain here about an hour and a half away. And I try to get up there every weekend this time of season. It's been a great snow season this year, so I'm pretty psyched about that. It's been awesome. So I'm passionate about those things. I love live music. I like to go to concerts. I like to dance. I like to meet people at those places. And I also have a dedicated practice of yoga and meditation and journaling. And that's just my self-care of taking care of myself and making sure that I'm healthy for this work. And so I love to do all those things. And I don't hide it from the students. I say, you know, I love all of these things. I played hard over the weekend before I came back out here. I took care of myself in these ways because I think it's really important that they can see that you don't just have to be focused on and only doing work and things that are quote unquote hard your entire life. You can do those things and play and enjoy yourself and, you know, be passionate about many other things. You know, if you can get yourself to a place that you're healthy and you're functioning and you're able to do those things, you can also have this fun and you can do those things. Because I think sometimes students get caught up in this and even stuck in this, I'm out here stuck in the wilderness. I can't do anything fun. either out here or once I get out of here, my parents are going to expect me to just do the things I'm supposed to do and need to do. And I have many things in my life that I am supposed to do and need to do, but I also make sure that I find time to play outside of that. And the other thing that I would add to the way that I play outside of work is that when I go into the group and work with them, I play there as well. So we have something that we call MFT, which is kind of a tongue-in-cheek way of talking about wilderness games. It stands for mandatory fun time. And, you know, I'm playing hacky sack with the guys. I'm playing sock hockey with the guys. And I'm trying to laugh with them and let them see me as human and someone playful and not, you know, simply the therapist that comes out and works with them. You know, I get down in the dirt and I bust with them and I make fire with them. And I talk about how I used to be a field staff and I used to be out here for days at a time working with them. And so not only am I playing in the front country in my time off, you know, I try to role model that we can play out here. And so I think that's an important part of showing the balance between work and play as well.
Well, I'll never forget, and I don't think you will, our first introduction to each other, because it was in the context of a therapist having a severe health crisis. And so you had been the intern and the field staff the previous week, and you showed up on a phone call to help cover for that therapist. And I joined you. And I can just remember from the outset, I said to the clinical director, Matt Hoyg, right away, I said, who's this guy, Brand? He's amazing. He has such a humility and such a confidence and such a wonderful connection. You can hear it in the way that he talks about the week with the children, and he's able to connect with the parents. So I'll always remember that moment that we met and you stepped up and just recognizing how real and honest and authentic you showed up. So I thank you for what you do for our clients, for our students. I know they're lucky to have you. And it's just an honor being on the same team.
Yes, thank you so much for that, Brad. I'll never forget that either. That was a wild experience that completely changed my life and opened up many opportunities to me. And I appreciate you saying all those kind things about me. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you, Brand. Thanks for sharing your story and what brought you to Wilderness Therapy and what you bring to the children and the families that you work with. I appreciate you joining me today.
Better year you'll be.